So tonight's topic is a little bit of a difficult topic, not because the material is difficult, although it is a little bit involved, but the sugyas are not terribly difficult. It's difficult because figuring out practical solutions in a way that will satisfy the needs, the emotional needs of the women of Klal Yisrael is going to be a difficult goal to attain. What we want to talk about tonight is what to do when you have a convention, you have a shot, you have a bar mitzvah, an ofrif in a hotel, and you have 30 families, or 300 families, or 600 families who are all coming together in a hotel, Pesach program, a Yontif, a Sukkot program, and they all have to light candles. And clearly, lighting in the rooms is not an option for fire hazard, and one has no right to light in the rooms because you want to be frum at the expense of the hotel, which definitely does not allow you to do so. So it's not a matter of being frum. So what are the other options? So typically what happens is you have a table in the lobby somewhere that they put lots and lots of candles on, and you have 400 ladies light candles on a table in a lobby. Now, I'd like to analyze that situation, and in doing so, we're going to have to first figure out what happens when I have two ladies in one house lighting on the same dining room table. First, we'll figure that out, if that could be an issue, if there's a problem, if it's not a problem. And before we get to that, we might also have to discuss what happens if you have one lady lighting candles in her house, but the lights are lit, which we have spoken about in the past week or two. So we have really three questions which all are related to one point, and that's the point of Tosefes Ora that I indicated in the title, Hadlakas Neros in Hotels and Tosefes Ora. If you're not making the light, you're just adding to light that's already here. Is that sufficient to recite the bracha to be mekayem the mitzvah of Hadlakas Haner for Shabbos? So a little background. We mentioned in the past that there's Oneg Shabbos, there's Kavod Shabbos, there's a Gra who says that the difference between Kavod and Oneg is Kavod is what you do on Erev Shabbos. Oneg is the enjoying of the Shabbos on Shabbos. That's the Gra's distinction. Other people have other distinctions. The word Kavod and the word Oneg are words from Tanakh, not from Chumash, but from V'kos HaShabbos Oneg, V'chli Ba'adato, are psukim from Nach. Let's look at how the Rambam couches the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros. And that will possibly lead us to conclusions about how the Neros should be lit in a person's house, in specific situations in a person's house, if they're going out, if they're not going to be home, or etc. And ultimately, we'll get to a hotel by the end of the night. Says the Rambam in the very first halacha, in the halachas of Hadlakas Neros, Shabbos, Perakei, and Shabbos, Echad Anoshim ve'echad Noshim. So we pointed out this Rambam is a fabulous Lashon because the Rambam doesn't say Chayavim L'Hadlak Neros. Rather, the Rambam has a convoluted formulation. Chayavim Lios Beveisehen Ner Dolok. They're Chayav to have in their house a candle. Sounds from the Rambam that you don't have a mitzvah to light, you just have a mitzvah to have light. You don't have a mitzvah to kindle a candle, rather the mitzvah is to just have light in your house. Fine. Afil Eilo Mayochal. Even if you're penniless, Why must you stretch yourselves so thin financially to make sure you have candles for Shabbos? Because Hadlakas Ner is a kiyum of Oneg Shabbos. It makes sense that he said that, because how did he formulate the mitzvah? This is a lamdisha point I'm going to say right now. He formulated the mitzvah as not a maisa hadlaka of Erev Shabbos, but a maisa of no maisa. A metzius of having light on Shabbos. So is that kavod or is that oneg? That's a side point. We could deal with that. Because the bracha always has to be on a maisa. You don't make a bracha in a vacuum on a metzius. So a bracha always has to be on a maisa. Even though the kiyum is not a maisa. So the bracha is on the maisa. Even if that's not the kiyum. The same way, for example, the bracha of kiddushin is not on giving a woman a ring, right? It's on the metzius of the kiddushin. The relationship is what the bracha. You're not making a bracha. You commanded me to give my wife a ring. You make a bracha, but you're going to make the bracha on the ma'isa. But it's chala. The kiyum is the metzius. So too the Rambam is very meduyuk here. Hold on. Listen to this lamdas. The Rambam is so meduyik that since he formulated the mitzvah as not a mitzvah to light a candle, but rather to have a mitzvah of light on Shabbos, memela it makes sense that it shouldn't be a mitzvah of kavod, which would be the hadlaka of Erev Shabbos, which is in preparation for Shabbos, but rather the enjoyment of the mitzvah of the light on Shabbos, and that's why he says it oneg. So you have two points, two unusual points, two chidushim in the Rambam, and they dovetail perfectly. Okay. I hear that. I don't think that's what the Gemara says, though.
No.
I don't think so. But I hear the chiluk. We'd have to do analysis, but not for now. I hear that. What is it? What is the Oneg Shabbos? What is the Oneg Shabbos of having the candles? Look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav explains. I mean, he's not trying to explain the Ram. He's just writing his own Chabad Shulchan Aruch. But look how the Shulchan, the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, formulates the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner. Tikkun Chachamim, Shiyeh L'Kol Echad Ner Dolek B'Shabbos. Right, you see, he doesn't say that Tikkun Chachamim that you have to light a candle. He's going like the Rambam that there has to be a candle lit and B'Chol Chedesh Olek Shem B'Shabbos. The mitzvah is not just to have candles where you eat your dinner. The mitzvah is to have light wherever you are on Shabbos, including the bathroom and your office and the hallway. Mishum Shlom Bayis. Again, we pointed out last week that has nothing to do with a relationship between a husband and a wife. What's the shalom bayis? Shelo yikashel be'etz or be'even or into your furniture. You shouldn't trip. You should be able to find your socks and your pajamas. V'chayev kol adam kisha ochel su'udas halayla la'achla etzel or haner. Wow. He says you're chayev. It doesn't say you're chayev to light a candle near your table. You're chayev to eat your dinner next to a candle. Shezeh bechlal oneg Shabbos. What's the oneg Shabbos? The oneg Shabbos is enjoying your meal with light. There's enjoying a meal. A meal is not a meal without chicken soup. A Shabbos meal is not a Shabbos meal without potato kugel. A Shabbos meal is not a Shabbos meal without light. That's what the oneg Shabbos is. So this is.
Was Erev Shabbos?
No, I said that was Kavod Shabbos.
Kavod Shabbos versus oneg Shabbos.
Right. So we're talking about oneg, which is on Shabbos.
No,
you
said Oneg Shabbos was Erev.
No, I said the opposite. Kavod is Erev, and Oneg is on Shabbos. So you have a fabulous Shulchan Aruch HaRav who just, you know, expands what this idea means. And the mitzvah is to enjoy Shabbos, meaning enjoy your Shabbos meal the way, you know, in a gishmak way, meaning with light. Fabulous Shulchan Aruch HaRav. But to complicate life is a Rambam all the way at the very end of Hilchos Shabbos, in Perek Lam, at the very end of the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos. And he talks about another mitzvah called Kavod. You have to get your house ready when it's on Friday afternoon. Mipnei Kavod HaShabbos. And look what he puts in over here. V'yeh ner dolok v'shulchan aruch u'mita matzas. And you have to have candles and a set table before Shabbos. Right? You're not supposed to set the table. It's not easy, but you're not supposed to set the table, you know, Friday night when you come home from shul. It's supposed to be set before Shabbos. Mitu mitzas, you shall take the beds made. Shekol elo, lechavid Shabbos hain. So what do we have? We have a stira in the Rambam. But the answer is that's not a stira in the Rambam, whether it's oneg or kavod. It's clearly going to have both. It's going to be both. There are different components. There are multiple components. So let's figure out what these components are. The component of oneg, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya already told us, what's the oneg? The oneg is at the Shabbos meal to have the light and enjoy it. Separate and apart from there is to do a ma'isa on Erev Shabbos, to do something with Chavit Shabbos on Erev Shabbos so that I'll be able to have a nice Shabbos. And this could be the answer to your question, Rabbi Wilimowski, of why they were misakein the bracha. Because maybe they were misakein the bracha lehadlik for the mitzvah of kibud, which is a ma'isa, which is done on Erev Shabbos. The oneg perhaps might be a kium, not a ma'isa, and maybe that would not warrant a bracha of lahadlik. Maybe, maybe not, but that's just something that relates to your question earlier. Okay, now let's shift. That's as far as introduction is concerned. But now let's talk about a scenario that I think will help us. There's a little bit of a side point, but I think it's a very important question. Let's say a couple is going out Friday night for dinner. We spoke about this a little bit last week, but we didn't get into a certain nekuda. They're going out, let me rephrase, they're not going out Friday night for dinner. They're going to a bar mitzvah at their brother-in-law's neighborhood, or their niece's neighborhood, or their cousin's neighborhood, and they're going to sleep at their host, and they're going to eat the bar mitzvah meal in shul, which happens, you know, whenever there's a bar mitzvah, and you go out of town, you know, to a different neighborhood for, to your friend, dear friends, or relatives, bar mitzvah, or ofrof. You're going to sleep in the at the host place, and you're going to be eating with the family, either in the Bali Simcha's home, or if they're doing it in shul, or in a small catering hall, then that's where you're going to have your meals. So you're not home, and you have two possible places, where you have three possible places where you could light. You're home, or you're not even going to be at all. So, no, that's not, there's no point in lighting if you're not going to be home at all. So the two other options are either going to be the place where you're sleeping, or the place where you're eating. So where should you prefer to light? Should you light in a shul where all the ladies are, you know, all the family is going to be coming together? Or in the house where your host is hosting you for sleeping purposes? So this actually is a sugya in Erevin, nothing to do with Neros Shabbos. And there it talks about what happens if you have a chatzer with numerous people in the chatzer. You have a father and his three kids live in the chatzer. So that's four houses. Father's house, three kids have a house, that's four houses. And then you have a bunch of other random people living in the chatzer, another five, six people living in the chatzer. You have 10 families in the chatzer. And the question is, in order to participate in the chatzer, to enable people to carry in this chatzer, everybody has to give a little bit of bread, matzah, and join together as one meal, one joint meal, to make everybody like one big happy family. So the question is, the brothers, the three sons who are brothers, they're all three brothers and they're sons of a certain guy, and they all have their meals at their father's house. That's what the Mishnah talks about. Mishnah Erevin Ayin Beis Amud Beis, source number 4, Ha'achin, Shoyu Ochlin Al Shulchan Aviyam, V'yishenu B'batayim. They all have, each one has their own house. They each have a house of themselves where they sleep. But all their meals, they eat together as a family, like a chamula. And they live in one courtyard. Right? Mom is the cook for all of her family, for her children, her grandchildren. All the kids go out and work. And mom stays home cooking all day for everybody. Good deal. So the question is, is this family one unit? Because, hey, they all eat together. So they're one unit. They only have to provide one matzah to the Erev Chatzeros matzah collection. Or do we say, since they sleep in four different houses, they have to provide a matzah for each house, because basically, if you look at where they sleep, you're going to look at them as four different identities or distinct units. That's the question of the Gemara. That's the question of the Mishnah. Concludes the Mishnah, Tzrichin Erev L'chol Echad V'Echad. Everybody has to participate. Each of the families, since they sleep in four different houses, they have to provide four different matzahs, for one for each of them. Says the Gemara, Shmami Na Makam Lina Gorim. You see that the main part of their living space, the main part of their dwelling, is not where they eat, because they all eat together. It would only be one house of eating. But rather, we're saying that everyone has to give for each of the four houses. It sounds like Makom Lina, the place where they sleep, is the key. Says the Gemara, no, you can't bring a raya from that. I don't want to get into what the raya is. Concludes the Gemara, skips the Rashi. My makam dira, so what is the makam dira that will define the main place where you live? It's the machlokas. Rav amar makam pita, where you eat. Shmuel amar makam lina. We have machlokas. And therefore, if we fast forward to the shaila that we asked a moment ago, Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Bedvaro.
Amen.
If you have a question of where are you going to light, either in the makam lina, in the place, the host where you're sleeping, or makam achila, the makam pita, the shul or the hall, the catering hall where the whole family is eating together, what should you do? Should you light at your host where you're sleeping or in the place where you're having a meal? So machlokes is Rav and Shmuel. How do we paskin? Let's look in Hilchos Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Erevin. And presumably, this halacha in Hilchos Erevin is going to tell us whether the lady should light where at her host where she's sleeping or in the shul where they're eating.
You said the Rambam gave a reason. The Rambam said that you should eat right next to the That's arguing. But that would seem to answer the question, according to the Rambam, that's right.
The Rambam's not talking about a case where we're divorcing the sleeping from eating. The Rambam's talking about a typical case where everything's all together, presumably. And he's not going to say it's a mitzvah to take your nap next to the candle because that's an oxymoron. Well, what else should he write? It's a mitzvah to have its own egg Shabbos to have lights on next to your bed?
Lights, yeah.
No, it's not. When I go to sleep, I turn off the lights. You sleep with your light on. You turn off the lights when you go to sleep. So you can't, that's not an option. But here what we just did is we created a litmus test to divorce sleeping from eating, and now we have to figure out which is going to be the main kaveh. And to do that, we have to say you're not in your house at all, sleep in one place, eating in another place. So I think I just explained why it shouldn't be the case, but okay, let's see how the Shulchan Aruch passes. It's going to end up being the same thing, because that's how we pass it. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Erevin, notice. I mean, not it's in Hilchas Shas, but it's about the Erev Chatzeros. Echar acher. If you're eating in place A, and you're sleeping in place B, neither of them is your home. Makom achilasahu ha'ikar. The place where you're eating is your main dwelling place, and that's the place that for Hilchas Erevin is going to be defined as your location. And we don't have to be worried about your dwelling where you sleep, you only have to be worried about the dwelling where you're eating. Based on that, we have another halacha. So we're really going to run around Orach Chaim. We're going to run around Shulchan Aruch to three places with this yisod. Number one in Hilchas Erevin, which we just mentioned. Now let's talk about a famous halacha in Hilchas Chanukah. Same exact shaila arises in Hilchas Chanukah. You're going away for Shabbos to a Shabbos bar mitzvah during Chanukah. Where are you going to light your Chanukah candles? Are you going to light at the home where you're being hosted to sleep? Or are you going to light at the location where you're eating? Let's say you're eating at a family. The family that's making bar mitzvah, your brother-in-law is making bar mitzvah, you could eat at his house. But you're staying at some random neighbor. Where should you light your Chanukah candles?
This isn't necessarily a question only on Shabbos.
These are Chanukah candles. Oh, you're right. Thank you very much. Let's say it's a random Tuesday and you're out of town for whatever reason and you're eating dinner in one place, at one person's house, and you're sleeping in a different house. Where should you light your Chanukah candles? Says the Shulchan Aruch.
Which usually happens.
Why would they
need
the same thing? Chanukah would have nothing to do with eating. No oneg for that, but you would have that.
You're right. The halacha in Hilchas Erevin is not talking about oneg either. It's talking about what is the definition of your home. What is the defining fact that makes your dwelling, the given dwelling, your real home?
Right.
That's right. For tax purposes, they say wherever you are, 181 days, right?
But that's for Erev Tachumen, you have to be living in Chatzeros. You need to be actually living in that area, or to be joined to be living in that area. Chanukah is not dependent on where you're living.
It is. You have to live somewhere tonight. Every day of your life, you live somewhere. But I have two possible places to define as where I'm living. I could be living. Do you define my living place space as the place where I'm sleeping, or do you define my living place space as the place where I'm eating?
So my restaurant that I'm going to, that would be my
restaurant. You can't write in a restaurant because it's not a bias. I'm talking about two houses. You're going to somebody's house for dinner and somebody else's house to sleep. So which of those houses should be your dwelling house for tonight? Machlokes Rav and Shmuel.
The Chanukah is the only din to light near your table that you eat by. You can light in the dining room.
Whoever said that was a Rambam and Hilchas Hadlokas Neiros. Now we're talking about defining a dwelling.
No, but Chanukah, though, the Mokom Achila is not a Mokom that defines where you should light.
Well, in Hilchas Erevin, the question had nothing to do with Oneg. Hilchas Erevin, the question is, what's the definition of your home? And we're taking that definition of your home, and the Shulchan Aruch applies it, as you'll see in a moment, in the Ramah, in Tav Reish Ayin Zayin Sif Aleph, the Ramah says in source number 6, Yesh Omrim to Bizman HaZesh Madligim B'fnim Mamish, Yadlik B'makom She Ochel. Look at the Mishnah Brura. B'makom Achi Laso Iker. Clearly, and he's saying, this is talking about a case where you're not home at all. You're not in your house. You're a guest. And if you're a guest, the question is, are you a guest? Is your home defined as the place where you're eating or where you're sleeping? That's where the question is, Paskin.
By somebody else, you're not lying about it, though.
What?
If you're invited to somebody's house for dinner, that's after show. You're being an aksumai in somebody's house where you're sleeping.
So if you can have both meals in somebody's house, but you're sleeping somewhere else, where should you light your Hanukkah candles?
Logically, you want to say you're supposed to light, but you're not invited to your. To the guy's house until after.
So you know what? Call them up and say you'd like to come a little bit early because you want to light. Yeah, I know dinner's not till 6:15. Can I come at 4 o'clock? Yeah, I want to come at 4 o'clock to light candles. That's what comes out. That's what seems to be the halacha here. Now we're going to bring the third application of this. The third application of this halacha, of this machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, of what is the primary home. And that's going to be in Hilchis Halakas Neres Shabbos. So in Reish Samach Gimel is the main sugya of Hilchis Shabbos. That's the sugya we've been learning for the past few weeks. And tonight, Iker, look at the top, look at the Ramah on top of page 2. I think it's Ramah. Iker Halakha Tluya B'Nero Shemadlikin Al HaSholchan. We pointed out earlier that there's a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch Harav said explicitly, and all the poskim say, there's a mitzvah to have candles where? Every place in your house that you go. In other words, there's a mitzvah to have candles, Shabbos candles, in your office, and in your hallway, and in your bathroom, and in your closets. Oh, comes the Ramah and says, the Iker one is where you eat on the dining room. So therefore, that's the one where your wife is going to make the bracha. That's one where you're going to use candles or oil. All the others, you're going to be a little bit more chilled out. And you're going to use whatever light bulbs are in the bathroom and in the hallway and in your office and in your closets. But there is a mitzvah of oneg shab, of not tripping, of shalom bayis, of not being able to, being able to find your socks and your pajamas and the sefer that you need and all the other things, that will be still a chiyuv of hadlakas neros, but the ikar one will be al hashulchan. So we found three different applications to this din that the ikar hadlaka is going to be where you eat and not in the other places. So now let's get into a little bit of a further question. And this is going to be important that to help us shift from regular lighting candles to lighting in a hotel.
This is only if you're not going back to your own house at the end of the night.
Correct. If you're going back to your own house, I don't care where you're eating, your own house is your real house. We're talking about a case where you don't have your own house, so your new house for this Shabbos is defined either as you're sleeping, or you're lodging, or you're eating, and the Shulchan Aruch is passing, and you're eating is the Iker. Fine. Now, everything that I said, when I was an economics major in college, and the funny thing about economists that people like to poke fun of is that economists have no idea of what's happening in the real world, and everything that's done in an economic model is the following phrase has to precede whatever you're going to say about economics. All things being equal in a perfect market, the following should be true. Of course, there's no such thing as a perfect market, there's no such thing as perfect flow of information, there's no such thing as a perfect competition, there's no such thing as perfect anything, and nothing else. It's never like that, but that's what should be true in an economic model. That's how it works in economics. So that yesod is exactly the yesod we're about to see. When do we say that if there's a tension, a conflict between makom achila and Malcolm Lina, we're going to follow Malcolm Achila, that's all things being equal. However, what we're about to see, that if all things are not equal, and you have, one of them has the advantage of being more private to you, personally as an individual or as a family, and the other option is going to be a more public place, then we will follow not the Malcolm Achila, but rather the
Malcolm Lina,
the place that's more private.
The
place that is more private, whatever the two is. Meaning, we have a conflict between Malcolm Achila, Malcolm Lina, Malcolm Achila wins. But when is that true? That's true only when all things are equal. However, if one of them is the place that is more private, the more private place wins out in all circumstances. Let me explain what I mean. There's a halacha in Hilchas Tzedakah. There's a very big misunderstanding that says that there are different dargas of who you should give tzedakah to. First, you give to family. Then you give 20 yircha. And Ani Eretz Yisrael somehow fits in there. And then you give to the people in other places. People think that, okay, so I want to give, you know, Aniya Ircha, the people in my neighborhood, I'm going to give them, you know, I have $10,000 to give, I'm going to give $7,000 to the people in Lawrence, and I'll give the $3,000 remaining to Aniya Eretz Yisrael. So that's not what the halacha means. Halacha means that if you have two people who are equally impoverished, they both have an earnings of, you know, $7,000 of a year for their family, then your priority should be the people in your city and then people in Eretz Yisrael and further. But if there are people that are more impoverished, so they get a kedima even if they are far away from you. What am I trying to say is that when the Chachamim say there are parameters that you should go, this goes before this. First Aniye Ircha, then Aniye Eretz Yisrael, then all the other places. That's only when all things are equal, when they're equal, they're on equal footing, they're equally poor. Then you have the A, B, then A, then B, then C. But if one person is poorer than another, one person doesn't have food to eat, and the other guy doesn't have money to pay his lease, so I'm going to give the money to the person who doesn't have food to eat, regardless of whether he's Aniye Ircha or he lives in Kentucky. Why? Because he doesn't have food to eat, and the guy who lives locally doesn't have money to pay the lease is a lower level of need. So, same idea. When you have two things that are in conflict, I'm just trying to show you conceptually this idea. When you have two things that are in conflict, mach machila trumps, wins. But that's when they're both equally private or equally not private. But if you have a place, so let's talk about a hotel, for example. You're right, except if you're an Uman.
Go to Hebron next week.
Right, if you go to one of these places, like Marhemish Amatzim's, you go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, where there are 12 guys in a room, and maybe they're eating in a room with in a place where there's a meal for only 6 people. Or you go to, right, Hebron for, you know,
Chayish
Pashas Chayisara in Hebron.
On the floor in the base mattress there.
Right, so everyone's sleeping on the floor of the base mattress, but you're eating in someone's house. Okay. So there... You're right, but you're right. In most cases, you're right, Mr. Klingler. You are right. In normal circumstances, you are correct. Most of the time. So let's just come back to a hotel. So Rabosai, where are you supposed to light in a hotel? In the dining room or in your hotel room? Well, until 3 minutes ago, you would have said, well, dining room versus sleeping. So of course the dining room trumps. Dining room comes first because it's the makom achila. And that's true, except for the fact that your personal space is the hotel room where you and your family are sleeping. So therefore, the more ideal place to light would be the Makom Shein, Makom Lina. Not because Makom Lina has precedence, but rather because that's the more private area.
Why should being more private make a difference?
Because that's more your bias, I think. Again, we have to define one place as your bias, so the place that's most personal to you, that it gives you most privacy, well, that will be defined. That's the criterion through which we will define your dwelling. The place where you have privacy, and you do your thing, you have your privacy, that's what defines a house more than the fact that you ate there. So Chashuki Chemer is Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. He is talking about a different point. He's talking about, and you'll see the application, he's talking about yeshiva boys, where should they light their Hanukkah candles? Should they light their Hanukkah candles in their dorm room or in their dining room? So at first, based on our analysis, how would we start? We'd say, well, dorm is I sleep, dining room is where I eat, so I should light in my dining room. However, he's going to say, look at the second paragraph in source number 10, he's just quoting Rav Moshe Feinstein, Omnam, even though you'd think you should light in the dining room because makom achila is more significant for hadlakas neros and for all the other points, Omnam b'shadas ha'tshuvas igros Moshe kasa shebachurei yeshiva yadliku b'makom li nasam, and they're sleeping in their dorm rooms. Why? I underlined it. Mikshum shehu miyuchad yoser mimakom ha'achila. It's the more private, the more specified, the more the place that's more their own. She'enu miyuchad klal shum prati. The dining room is not for any one person. So therefore, even though typically makom ha'achila goes first, but in the case of a yeshiva and in the case of a hotel, the dining room is not the place where you have privacy. So your main hadlakas neros should be where? In your hotel room, in your dorm room, in your hotel room.
But we're comparing Kesume Nisa to Onik Shabbos.
No, I'm defining what is your bias. We're not getting into Kesume Nisa. We're saying you have to light at your bias. Where's your bias?
And Chavda has to be the narrative.
At your bias. What's your bias? I sleep in one place and I eat another place. So ideally, typically, all things equal, my bias is defined by where I eat. Comes what this point that we're seeing now, that that's only when they're equal, but if you have a place that has an advantage of privacy, that is your bias, even if you don't eat there. That's what we're coming at.
Now, the monkey wrench, of course, is that the hotel doesn't allow you to...
Of course, that's the problem. So you can't light the candles in your hotel room. So what would we say the ideal thing to be? Clearly, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, it would be to take a light and light in your hotel room. I mentioned this 5 times, to light in your hotel room. If you have ideally with an incandescent bulb that you could bring with you and plug into the wall and make a bracha on it, Rabbi Osei. Make a bracha on it. If you don't have an incandescent bulb, okay, so don't make a bracha on it. But still, that would be your main hadlaka. The problem is, your wife will
kill you.
She'll disown you. She'll call you not religious. She'll file a divorce because you're not religious. I'm not going to light Shabbos candles. So what are they going to do? They're all going to light in the halavai. Halavai. Oh, so now we're getting to the point. Now we're getting to the meat. Where should they light? So if they light in the dining room, okay. It's a dining room. It's by my food. It's somehow in close proximity. I can at least see it where I'm sitting to eat dinner. If it's not on my table, that would be ideal. It's near my table, that would be almost ideal. It's at least in the same dining room where there's some extra light in the dining room because of these lights, then we could talk. However, if it's in a lobby, do you sleep in the lobby? No. Do you eat in the lobby? No. So what are you doing lighting there? Because that's where the hotel set up the table? So I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I would urge you to ask any Orthodox rabbi if you're allowed to light with a bracha in the lobby of a hotel. I don't know of an Orthodox rabbi who says that you're allowed to.
It happens in a Pesach hotel.
So I want to tell you a story. 100%. It happens in every Jewish hotel. I want to tell you a story that I just heard this week. I heard it probably third hand. Shah goes like this. Mamish third hand. It could be totally true. If it's true, if it's false, then at least you get the idea. Person went to visit Rav David Feinstein and asked him, and maybe it was about the Agudah convention, something about, where do they light? Is it true that they light in the lobby? Rav David Feinstein said, yes, they light in the lobby. Okay, so he went downstairs to the building, he got his psak, he light in the lobby when you go to the Agudah convention. He went down the steps outside the building, and I said, wait a second. I didn't ask Rav David where I should light. I asked him where they light. So he went back upstairs, and he said, Rav David, are you allowed to light in the lobby? He said, no, it's a bracha levatala. Rav Shechter also holds like that. That I heard from him, at least once. And if we go through some of the sources, we'll find that that's indeed the case. So, but now that's what we're going to try to focus on. This is the second half of the shiur now, to talk about what happens when you have a lot of people lighting at once and it's not in the dining room. Maybe we could find a way on some level to allow lighting, let's just think of two issues. First of all, it's not in the right place. And number two, this is what I'm going to focus on now, is what's the point of lighting candles? To give yourself light. But if there are 171 sets of tea lights here, and you're number 171, or you're number 71, or you're number 32, then you're not doing anything.
You also have the lights from the...
100%. But there you can at least say, but this is a candle. That's just the fixtures. But you're right, you also have the chashmal on top. Right, this is both the same question. So this is a sugya.
Okay.
What? If you're number one, it would be much better. Yes, it would be much better if you're number one. And you know where that's true also? You know where else that's true? In your dining room. Your daughter comes for Shabbos with her kids. Your daughter-in-law comes for Shabbos with her kids. You know what? Whoever lights first is going to win. Whoever lights second, it's a question if they should light. It's a question if they should make a bracha. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that they Should not. Let's see that right now.
Have in mind.
So the Beis Yosef, right, you're at Mincha. You heard me. Not everyone was speaking.
Had a preview.
So let's look at the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef is the source for a very important halacha. Matzasi b'tshuva Ashkenazis, the Maharil. Maharil, we had a Maharil once last week or 2 weeks ago. The source of Hilchas, much of Minog Ashkenazis in the Maharil. He talks about the following situation. Shnayim u'shloshe balabatim ochlim b'makom echad. Each, you have a few families eating together. Kol echad mevarech al menorah shalo. Each one makes a brach on their own candlesticks.
This is not Chanukah.
This is Hilchas Shabbos. This is the candlesticks. Afal pisha kvar yesh ora meruba. Even though there's already light from the first or second family, the third family, is allowed to light candles as well. Afal gav, this is the main line, to orzura gem gem bezeh. Even though the orzura says, I don't like it, let's think about this orzura. The orzura says, if you're not first, you're not making there be light. If you're the second or the third family to light, that means there's already light in the room. What are you doing? You're just...
Tosefes.
Thank you, that's the word I was looking for. You're just doing Tosefes Ora. And the Orzura says, on Tosefes Ora, you can't make a bracha. Says the Maharil, in other words, forget a hotel, forget 171 sets of tea lights. Your own dining room, when your daughter or daughter-in-law comes with your little Eidek Lach to your house, you're going to light candles, and your daughter or daughter-in-law are going to light candles. The second one, according to the Arzarua, should not be lighting candles, or should not be making a bracha, because she's not creating light, she's just being mosif light, she's just adding light.
If you're all lighting together, then that's fine.
Yes. But that's going to be pretty hard to orchestrate. On three, everybody take your matches. One, two, three. Everyone, they all create light at the same moment. You're right, but that's not going to be so practical. So look what the Maharil concludes. Avagav de Orzura Gim Gim Michal Bezemi Kalmakum Yesh Nogim Kach Maniyasi Nearly Liashiv. I'm not sure if this is Maharil speaking or the Beis Yosef speaking. I think it's the Maharil. Look at what I underlined. You know what the Maharil says? It's okay if you have the second and third family light their candles. You know why? Tekoma, and this is the line that you're all reliant on. Tekoma demitosif ora, as long as you're adding additional light, ispe shalom bayis tvei. Translate the word shalom bayis, nothing to do with you and your wife, nothing to do with the relationship. You could see better in your house. It's, you're not going to trip in the corners. You're not going to bump into things in the side of the room. V'simcha yisera, and there's more light, you're happier. L'hanas ora b'chol zavios.
So in the lobby where you're lighting, would you pass by every time you're going from the one area to the dining room, there's also going to be more light.
I hear that. And you're entitled to say that.
What?
You're entitled to say that. I'll just focus you on the word that you're focusing. You're saying, even though there's not shalom bias more, meaning you're not seeing any better, it's not like you were going to trip on something in the lobby, but now that there are 171 tea lights, that 171st tea light is going to make you not trip. That's absurd, right? So there's not shalom bias. So what is there? Look back at what I underlined. The additional light gives shalom bias and simcha yisera. You're saying, but there's simcha yisera. More candles makes me happier. Right? Look at the next two words look at the next four words. Lahanas ora b'chol zavios, because there's more light in all the corners. It sounds like the Simcha Yisera is because of what? There's a light in all more corners now, right? If you picture the olden days, there's no electric lights. You have a lady lights in this corner, and you light more candles, so there's more. This light shifts to another corner. It casts its glow. It's radiance in another little bit of an area. But if it doesn't give any light at all, would even this... Again, the Orzarua in the previous line said only the first family could light and not the second family at all. And the Maharil is being made and says, no, you know what? If the second family is adding light and shedding more corners with light, spreading more light in the world, and that gives me more shalom bayis, less tripping, more simcha, then also we can make a bracha. Okay, so we had a machlokas, two opinions in the Maharil. How do we paskin? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. Source number 12 says the pasuk is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Samach Gimel. Shnayim al Gimel Balabatim Ochlim B'Malkum Echad. I know where he's going. He's quoting the exact line from the Maharil that we just said. Look at what he says. Yesh Omrim. Each family can make, could light their own candles and make their own brachas. Because, why? Because there's more light. So each one can make their own bracha. But there is that opinion, it was the Or Zeruah who says, no, just the first person could light. Paskin the Shulchan Aruch. V'nachon li zahir b'safik brachos v'lo yivarech ela echad. Paskin the Shulchan Aruch, black on white, the only one who can make a bracha on Shabbos candles is the first person in the room. The first person in the room could light Shabbos candles. The second person in the room, it could be your mother or your daughter, or your daughter-in-law or your mother-in-law, she should not light with a bracha. Wow. Wow. And I thought Hadlakas Neres is for Shalom Bayis. This is going to cause, who knows what, it's going to cause World War 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. First one gets there, you got the bracha because you made light. Anyone else, if Tosefes Ora says the Shulchan Aruch, don't make a bracha on that. Okay, I mean, he's obviously being machmir because of machloka. So go ahead, light the candles, Mrs. Second Person. But don't make a bracha. The bracha is a safik bracha levatala. Or Zora says you shouldn't make a bracha here. It's only Tosefes Ora. It's only adding more light, and I don't know if you can make a bracha on more. And some say you don't make a bracha more light. No bracha at all. Baruch Hashem Rashkenazi. Look at the next word, five words. Hagah says the Rama, Aval Anu, Enog and Cain. We're not noheg like that chumrah of the Or Zeruah, and we are lenient, and we allow Tosefes Ora to be worthy of a bracha. So Rabosai, if you're Sfardi, there's only one person making a bracha in the dining room. Maybe she could go to another room and make a bracha, where it would have been dark, but according to Sfardim, only one person should be making this bracha. I don't know what the minhag is by Sfardim, but I'm just reading the Shulchan Aruch, and this is what ought to come out. So what we have to really figure out is, but so let's talk about our hotels. Let's start in a healthier way. Let's assume that the dining room, that the table that the hotel staff set up is in the dining room. That's at least makom achila. So what I just want to figure out is, but so it's in the makom achila at least. The lobby is meaningless, but at least the dining room is makom achila. But this makom achila, it's more light, but it's not helping me. It might not even be more light, right? If you have a tray with dozens of tea lights, an extra two tea lights does absolutely nothing. It doesn't give you any additional light. It's nice to see more lights glisten from a distance, but that's not giving you any hana. That's not a real hana. So now we're going to work on this sugya, and this is going to be the last sugya of tonight. The Magen Avraham says, on what we just learned in the Shulchan Aruch, that at least according to Ashkenazim, you're allowed to make a bracha on Tosefes Ora. Says among in Avram, Reish Samach Gimel Tesvav, source number 13, Dekoma Sheni Tosef Ora, Yesh Bashalom Bayis, Usimchi Yisera, Lahanas Ora, Bechol Zavios, Zavios. He quotes exactly what we saw earlier, that the more light that you add, the more illumination you have in the far corners, and therefore you can make a bracha. And then he brings a shalom. What?
You're going to be all in the same place.
Look at the shalah he's about to quote. V'kasav shalah, demikom makom lo yivarchu shnayim b'menora achas sheyesh lam kanim harbe. You know some ladies have a candelabra with one stick in the middle and five or six or seven or eight nine ten candles coming off it. Says the shalah, yes, it's true you could have additional people light in this room, but not on the same candelabra. Why not? Let's think. The Shlach had a brain like you have a brain, and we have a brain. What's he thinking? Why can't he light on the same candelabra?
Back then, you took the candelabra to walk around. So
not on Shabbos, it's muktzah.
No, but the way that you light was, you took the candelabra, you went around. So that is one, like avuka, or one torch that you're going with. It's all connected.
Avuka is a din in the psila.
But and they're all connected. You see it as all one thing.
So you're saying it's not a good hacker. It doesn't look like he's somebody else. Why not?
The same candles, the same exact thing.
No, different candles, but the same candelabra.
Same candelabra.
So why is that not in the Tosef Ora? There were two candles here, now there's two more candles here. on this candle now, but now it has four candles.
But on the area that it's working.
Ah, that's what I think the point is. The Shluck clearly is holding that you can't light on the same candelabra because the candles are too close.
Right. Same arena that it's
same, yeah, exactly. Same arena, same location. Even though they could be 3-4 inches away
right.
on different parts of the candelabra, but the Magen Avraham is saying, even if you hold that you can light additional candles as a host Tosefes Ora, you have lights, you're going to add more light, but that's only if there is some distance
doesn't
say between
that.
Them.
Just one is not the same in hour.
You're right.
That would imply that if I have the candelabra and right here, I could do it. It's a separate unit.
I hear what you're saying, but again, we're not being medayik in the Lashon of the Shla. I mean, the Shla also is quoted, actually, in the next Eli Rabbah, where he articulates himself clear. But that is, the Shla does say a little more clear that the point is that it's going to provide a little bit more light, I think.
Because they're too close together, therefore, you know, there's no additional simcha, there's no more holiday.
Well, the simcha and the shalom bayis, meaning not bumping into each other, in more corners of the house is because there's more, light is more spread out. But if you're putting more light in the same place, you didn't accomplish anything productive.
Well, it's a little brighter light.
And therefore, even what let's...
So the whole point of the torch is you have two wicks together.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. And I guess he's saying that that's not enough. You need more zavios, right? The lashon of that maharil, he says, is more zavios, more corners, more spaces. Obviously, if it gets further out, that might help.
Why does the phrase menorah achas? Why doesn't it say close to each other? Maybe menorah achas means it doesn't look like two people are alighting. It looks like one person lit both.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I just don't know. I don't think we make a diuk in a shla like that. You know, that's a kind of diuk you might make in a gemara, maybe a rishon. Right. But you're not going to make that kind of diuk in a late achron.
Why does he use the phrase menorah
achas? Yeah, that's what he means. I think. Yeah, that's what he means. That's what he means. Because that was the most common way of having karov, or very karov, is, you know, is when they'd be on the same candelabra. So, what the Magen Avraham is telling us is that even according to the Shulchan Aruch, you can't make a bracha on the additional light, only the First Lady. Even if we are mekel, and we will light candles on the additional light, all of a sudden we have a chumra on that too. But it can't be too close together. So now, let's think. Did you ever see that those trays with the tea lights? It's like sardines in a sardine can. It's even closer. So it's like mamish. It's mamish. They stuff as many as they can. They're not close together. They're touching each other. That sounds really not kishmak according to this shla that the Magen Avraham Paskin's like. And this is all according to the lenient opinion. This is according to the lenient opinion that says you can make a bracha Tosefes Ora still, not if it's in the same place. So the question is, are we going to be able to find any makom lahakel for those tea lights in the same similar place, or for your daughter-in-law who's lighting on the same buffet server in your dining room, the same tray as your wife did? Candles right next to each other. So let's pause for a minute before we see the Eli Rabba, the next source, which is going to be our Redeemer, our Moshiach. I think it would be proper, I have to tell this to my wife, and I never realized this until we're going through the sugya with you today, that if there are multiple people in the house who should light candles, it should be spread out a little bit. Spread out a little bit. Share the wealth. Share the light. Okay, but we still want to be Melavet Zechus and Klai, so let's learn the Eli Rabba now. This will basically bring us to the finish line. So the Eli Rabba quotes in the first two lines, he quotes the Shla and says that you shouldn't light on the same two people on the same candle, it has to be spread out. And then he says, Aval Shamati, in the fourth or third line of source 14, the Eli Rabba in Reish Samach Gimel, which is a siman about Hadlak Zero, Sif Katan Yudches. Aval Shamati, Zekeni Hagon Zal Pasak Dilo Kavasei. My grandfather paskined not like this Chumra of the Shla who says that the candles have to be separated and far apart. And I'm going to show you, I've broken it up into four proofs, that the Eli Rabba is going to cite to show why you could light candles even if they are nearby one to another.
Is one not on the same candle?
Let's see. V'chem istaber, let's see what he says. V'chem istaber pamotos shalanu. In our, I don't know, let's assume that he's talking not about candlesticks, but he's talking about, in the olden days, lights were hung from the ceiling or on the walls, and they spread to side to side. You know, they spread outwards. It wasn't just, you know, on a table it doesn't spread so much, but if it's higher up in the room, it spreads further. So, if you have more candles, the light is going to get to more corners. I think what he means is there's going to be more light. That was what you said. Even if they are close together, there's going to be more light. Someone said that. Va'od, furthermore. Dim kain. If it's true, if the Shla is correct, that if it's close together, it's a problem. K'shiyesh shnei menoros zeh etzel zeh. If you have two candlesticks right next to each other, you shouldn't make a bracha. V'lo mashma hakam yiramam v'poskim. But we don't see the poskim say making that point. Like the Shla was in the, I don't know, the 16th, 1700s. How come the Ramah didn't say it? The Ramah just said, you know, it's okay, we make it. He didn't say, but don't do it close, you know, make sure you spread out. Va'od. T'chol shemar b'neiros apamokam echad. If you have a lot of candles, even if they're concentrated, there's more light in the whole room. Okay, similar to what he said earlier. And now he says, look at this. Now, this is the following source is the only thing that he brings actually a text-based source. He says, I have a proof from the Maharil, which is the source for this whole story. Because the Maharil, when the Maharil says that you're allowed to light candles for the for Tosefes Ora, you know what the Maharil is talking about? We never saw this, but if you look in the Shalos HaTshuvos HaMaharil, says Eli Rabba, he brings a raya that you're allowed to light candles to add light of Tosefes or even if you already had one lit before, for the fact that they would light candles on Yontif. Right, on Yontif you're allowed to light candles, right? You're allowed to light fire on Yontif. Transfer fire. You know when they would light candles? On the middle of the day. At 11 in the morning. At 2 in the afternoon. Why? For Kavod Yontif. Can I ask you a question? Kavod Yontif? From light? What do we say when you have a candle in the middle of the day, broad daylight? Shraga? Patiara? Maya honey, a light, a candle in the sun, light, what does it help me? It's meaningless.
It's the majesty of the day.
You just introduced a word that we have not yet used all night. And we haven't seen in any of the posts come until now. Majesty. Great word. Better than I would have picked that. I would have picked that like ambiance, but majesty is a much better word. But look what he says. The fact that, the Maharil says, the fact that you're allowed to light candles in shul in daytime, even though shraga v'tira may mahaniyu, so how is that a ochel nefesh? How is that helping you have a better yontif to have candles lit in the middle of the day, at 11 in the morning, at noon? Apparently, ela koma demitosif ora choshev hanat fei. It's majesty. And there it's daylight, so it must be the majesty. So too, he's saying, all the more so when you have candles that are at night, or in our case, when we have our chashmal on, and we have big chandeliers with plenty of light. So yeah, those dinky tea lights do diddly squat, but maybe they add a little bit to the majesty. So that suggests to Eli Rabba, if you hold like the opinion who permits Tosefes Ora, I think even if it doesn't really give you extra light, it would still be okay. So what do we have in our Rabosai to sum things up to finish our shiur tonight? We have the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch who says that you're not allowed to light if you're just adding light if somebody lit before. Certainly if you have chashmal. The Ramah is more mekel and says we're mekel and says that even if you did Tosefes Ora, it's okay. But the Magen Avraham put a break on that leniency and said no, it can't be if it's close together. And comes this Eli Rabba and says, no, we're doubly mekel. Not only do we allow you to light, even though there's light there already, do we permit Tosefes Ora, but we even permit Tosefes Ora when it doesn't really shed too much more light. The first few things he says, it does give more light, it gives more light, it gives more light. And now he's saying perhaps the fact that it gives majesty, that might also be, he doesn't say exactly like that, but that might be what he means. Question is, are we make it like this Eli Rabba? The Mishnah Berurah says you should try not to be. The Mishnah Berurah says, we're not going to see it inside, and Mishnah Berurah, Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Katan Lamed Zayin, he said, if you need to, in a situation, you might have what to be makel on. Sounds like, ideally, you shouldn't.
So maybe the other Shalom Bayis overrides this Shalom Bayis.
The good Ha'ara. The good Ha'ara. So, Halach Lamayisa will stop here. I think, if you do go to a hotel, if you would ask me, where should my wife light? The answer is, tell her to go to her, go to the room,
bring an
incandescent, make a bracha in the room, and to make her feel good, tell her not to be mafsik, to afterwards go downstairs and flick on the lights. And, I'm sorry, light the candles.
And even if she's mafsik, don't make a bracha.
Okay, yeah, don't make it right. And don't make a bracha when she lights, right. It's going to be very hard emotionally for a woman. What? No, but she thinks that makes her bracha goes on the candles, then she'll feel better. Halach l'maisa, lighting candles in the hotel lobby, it's not even a dining room, it's a double whammy. First of all, it's not a makom of achila or lina. Second of all, it's not the private place, the more private place. Third of all, it's a tosefes ora that's a meaningless tosefes ora that only according to Eliyahu Rabba, according to the leniency of the Ramah, is there on whom to rely? So certainly the chatchila, that would not be ideal.